And sometimes when you fill your heart with the word, it prepares you to receive what he's going to say. And also praying in the Holy Spirit helps you get in alignment. And I'm going to tell you something else. As we do these things, we're always growing. When you pray for people, when you hear the ambulance and you pray for the people in need, you are growing. When you minister God's word with the intent to be a blessing to others, you're growing too. When you hear the word that's being taught, you're growing. When you're standing, you're growing. When you hear when you pray to do more of God's will, you're growing personally. And so when this happens, as this process continues, the light in your life gets brighter. Now, it's not natural light, but it's example. It's influence. It's your persuasion. You know, when you stand, when you do what's right, when you stand for what's right, it gives people an example that the enemy is desperately afraid of. And that's why the Antichrist, he has to hide until something happens to the church. Either the church is going to have to backslide or be removed or even both. But he can't come out with people when there's too many people that know the Lord, their God. They'll shut him down. People will start getting saved and pray, and they'll shut him down. The angels will stop him. So something has to happen before he can fully reveal himself. And some kind of tragedy or war. Many people got to be destroyed. Something's got to happen. Because Satan is a coward. He is not. He makes himself look strong. He once was an angel, but now he's under our feet. He's under your foot personally. You can stop Satan. When I fight Satan, I stop him at his level. I say, Satan, you can't do this or that. I don't bother with whatever demon it is. I say, Satan, you can't do this. And it always works. So his prime objective is to shut down the light. Now, we see Apostle Paul in jail. The Lord told him not to go to Jerusalem. He was anointed to be the apostle to the Gentiles. The Jews didn't like him because he was one of them, and he was a leader. They got saved, so they had a lot of hatred against him. There was too much strife. But the Lord didn't anoint him for the Jews. He anointed him for the Gentiles. He anointed Peter for the Jews. He anointed the others all the 12, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But Paul was, his anointing was limited to the Gentiles. So when we see him in Agrippa's court in Jerusalem, if the wisdom of God came to him, Jesus once said that when they take you to the courts, don't say anything. It will be given to you what to say. Now, many Christians are getting in trouble because they don't trust God. And they'll try to handle it themselves and get in more trouble. But Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he trained. When you have the anointing, you have to train. There will be training time. And he spent three and a half years in Arabia, in the Arabian deserts, and the Holy Spirit trained him. So when he was sitting there, and when he appealed to Caesar, there was so much wisdom in it. Because when you're anointed to do something, sometimes we look at the anointing as the works of the spiritual gifts in our life. That's just a manifestation of the spiritual gifts that works under the anointing. The anointing is a capability to do something much greater. When he was anointed to the Gentiles, that meant that he would have to live to teach them. He would have to know how to do warfare and not get killed. He would have to pull it off, even though there are obstacles. He was anointed for this. So when he appealed to Caesar, he was back in the Gentile court, and he was anointed to handle Gentiles. Also, greater wisdom of God, more wisdom about it, was that if Agrippa, now I remember little Jim years ago pointed out that they were trying to get money out of Paul because they knew he had money. And they probably were going to set him up. Now he used to teach line by line in those days, and he pointed out that they were after some of the money Paul had. But when Paul appealed to Caesar, all that was over with. Another thing that was happening, there were Jewish mobs on the outside because they were highly motivated to kill Paul. If he would have walked out of that court without the protection of the soldiers, they would have tried to catch him and kill him. When you follow God, you're not just following something that may be strange to you. You're serving a lot. You're solving a lot of problems at once. And I've learned that as I obey him. The Lord, will give you guidance based on the truth that he knows, not the truth that you know, because it's limited. But God is unlimited. So if you, the more I trust, when you trust God, you're in the safe zone. Now remember, we trust God like for a reason. When you trust somebody with your life, you trust them. When you get on a plane, you trust that pilot, you trust the mechanics who fix it and the people who made it. If you get on there with your life. And so when you trust God, it's the same thing. You're trusting him to do good, to do you good. You don't know what's going to happen. And as you trust him, you're gonna grow from glory to glory. When he says something, it's for many reasons, not just one or two, not just what we're thinking about. He's solving several problems at once. We trust him because of the past, and we believe him. I was doing a website teaching, and I said, Lord, what's the difference between trust and belief? You know, all of it works together to produce faith. When we trust is, he told me, trust is reliance. It's a noun. It's not a verb. It's a state of being. But when you act on it, it becomes faith. Same thing with believing. When you hear the word and believe it, the devils believe and tremble. But when you believe it and act on it, it becomes faith. So I said, what's the difference between trust and belief? Both of them are nouns. And he said, belief is trust without the past. And trust is belief with the past. Trust is belief because of the past. And belief is trust without the past. Now, Abraham believed God and he went. There was no history. The Lord just told him what to do and he did it. He had no, there was nothing, no references in the back. God didn't have any references. It's like a man you're going to hire for a job. He comes in and he doesn't have any references and you hire him because you believe him. Well, Abraham believed God, and he didn't have any, no, there was no relationship in the background except for his devotion. But now he's going to move all of his herds, his life, he's going to move out of town, away from his family. And now, in those days, you didn't do that because your family and your country was your protection, because there were giants out there, there were rogue people out there, there were evil people out there. You didn't, nobody did that. But he believed God and did it. He fully left after his daddy died, you know, after Terah died. So when we follow God, you're breaking through a comfort zone to do something greater than you know about. When you trust God, this is going to happen to you because y'all are progressive people. You want to know God. If you keep going in God's presence, he's going to tell you to do something that nobody's ever done before. And guess what? Nobody's going to believe you. Except the people that are, you know, some people will. But many people, it'll be too new and they won't receive it. You're going to have to deal with that. And be patient with people because they hadn't received that revelation or that commission that you have. When you receive revelation from the Lord, it enables you to proceed forward. It enables you to proceed forward. But if you stay in a comfort zone, you're going to form a narrative and people are going to stick to it. People that don't know any better are going to stay there. We have to break, as we seek God, it's safe. It's not, God's not going to ever tell you to do something that's wrong. Kenneth Copeland said that I had a lot of problems in those days. And I had enough problems for 20 men. And he said, God will not do you wrong. Because every time something will go drastically wrong, the enemy will try to, his temptation would be, well, it's God's fault. The church in that time was teaching that God sent problems to make you grow. And that's mean. God don't do that. He don't do it that way. I asked him about it. I said, Lord, do you send people problems to make them grow up? He said, problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. So I was motivated even more to ask the Lord questions. And, you know, when you pray, God just wants us to be honest and open with him. If we can do that, we can learn to trust him. I was honest and open. I said, Lord, show me how to do this. I gave up. I stopped trusting my way. I start trusting his ways. So he would give me information that worked. And this is the key thing. When you're growing from glory to glory, your life will work. Your effectiveness will exponentially increase. And the Lord can cause you to do things that will make a greater difference, along with your daily routine of love. 1 Peter taught something greater than Jesus. Jesus said, love, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Peter said, love others just like Jesus loves you. Now, as I practiced that, I noticed that when I loved people, I could see that God loved me. When I cared about what happened to people, I knew I had a fresh revelation one day that God cares about what happens to me. And it took me far beyond, you know, you grow from glory to glory. When you follow through with what he say, you're going to learn why he said it. For a while, for a season, it'll be a mystery. But you still got the peace. You have a reference of peace because you're in alignment with the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. And the narrative of the holiness church I used to go to, it's like they didn't even touch the Proverbs. A lot of things was God's will. All kind of things was God's will in those days. God is doing this to make you grow up so you won't be fleshy. Things, you know, it just wasn't right. And they meant well. And I'm not trying to bash them or anything, but these are the compromised ways that the enemy, he finds loopholes and people agree with it. And if you don't break through it, it'll hold you back. But you can proceed forward enjoying the presence of the Lord, welcoming the presence of the Lord, learning to live without strife. If you grew up in a home where, you know, there was strife, and this happens all the time, but when you break through it, you speak volumes to people. Sometimes it's people's habit to overtalk or to loud talk or to be mean, whatever it is. And they don't want to be that way, but that's in their habit system. Habit systems can be conquered. And the Lord can use boldness. In my case, I was very quiet. And I stayed that way for a long time till I got in the band when they made me the manager. And I was in a position that I had to speak up. But I still wasn't good at it. When he called me to the ministry, I was used to being quiet. I didn't say much. I was known for being quiet. But I had to break through to do the things that God would have me do. And God, I had to break through that shell. Darkness is something that can be broken through, but it takes light. And when we live the light, other people can catch on quick. People are made in the image of God. They can get it. They are intelligent people. They know the difference between good and evil. They know when they're doing you wrong and you're still doing them good. They know this. And this is light. And it's all through the Word of God, especially the Acts and the New Testament. When we follow him, we make a difference. But the Lord can show you how to do it. You know, I was trying to get out of debt. Back in 2009, I refinanced my house to a loan that would help me pay it off faster, because I said, well, since he called me to be an apostle, he may want me to go to other countries. So I need to get out of debt and get money set aside and give and do things that I know I need to do. And he gave me a way to do it. I don't even have to leave my yard, because the things that he gave me to do on the website goes around the world. And he gave me revelation. I'm not just saying that because it's to stay in a place of convenience. But this is what he gave me revelation with it and prepared me for it. And whatever he give you to do, just be faithful with it. See it through. And you'll get to know the Lord. All we have to do is be willing to proceed forward and do what we know already and receive what's coming. It's with God. Let's summarize. See, I'm going to close with this. He said, with God, everything is simple. If it gets complicated, you stop following God. I remember hearing him say that live at Word of Life. God loves us, and he's going to help us go forward. And the pattern you set will stay in motion. Remember when Joshua addressed the people just before he died? He told them they had to finish driving out those Canaanites. And Judah was the boldest. Henry Groover said that the people that are in Israel now, most of them are Jewish people, are from the tribe of Judah. They're still standing, even though they're blinded. They came back to their land. Many tribes have not come back to their lands, but many are coming back right now. Plane loads and plane loads of people. And I thank God for it. It takes faith to go back. So the way that they fought in Judges has been a pattern throughout the Word of God. You can research it yourself. When you study Judges chapter 1, you'll see that same pattern all throughout the Old Testament until they went into captivity. And even now, the way they fought, the way their ancestors fought, set a trend. It's hard to break through a narrative without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But we have access to the Holy Spirit, and we can be guided out of all forms of darkness, starting with our own, the things we picked up along the way that's not right, from our family, from our friends, our culture, our nation. We can break through all of it as we trust and follow God, as we train in Him. And I thank God for it. And I'll close with that.
Amen. Praise God.
Any comments? I love y'all's comments and questions. Y'all are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom.
This is Mary Ward. I have a comment.
Yeah.
You said following through obedience, the act of being obedient, in other words.
Yeah.
Way to help you know God.
Yeah.
So a closer relationship with God, one of the ways you do it is by obedient and doing the process, helps you know Him. That way that trust will grow.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's good.
That was
thirsty.
Oh, God.
I learned this about him. You think that you'll think that he won't say something that, you know, you like now. I believe whatever you say, I'll do it. But he can say some things that you'll go scratch your head about. But I know I prepare to trust him using those Charles Capps confessions. I say I will do all this in his heart, so I'll be prompt. Sometimes, you know, Apostle Paul was prompt when he appealed to Caesar. He didn't sit there and ponder it. He was prompt. Sometimes you only have one chance to be prompt. Just like Rebecca, she had one chance to be prompt and obey God, or she would have lost that position. So sometimes people, they let things go that they shouldn't. And, you know, it's not easy for anybody, and I have compassion on people, even if they don't. The Lord showed me a vision of a pastor, and I wanted him to do this vision so bad. And every time I tried to talk to him, he kind of made light of it. And at church, I would get interrupted, so he asked me to fix something on his car. And I said, I'll get to finish telling him about what God has showed me. And so I didn't even charge him. That's how I fix it. And I was fixing the car for free. And all I wanted to do was finish telling him. And he sent somebody outside with the keys. I said, you know, you people have to want. You have to have faith in what God is doing. And the people God choose to use don't always be the big name people that you expect. Sometimes you have to trust God promptly, and sometimes people fail, and that is a great loss because he didn't proceed forward. Proceeding forward it don't only just bless you; it blessed many. It would have blessed millions of people if he had followed God. So it's very important.
I have something too, bro, Thurston. This is Sister Mary.
Yeah.
You mentioned that people thought trials and tribulation grows them up.
Yeah.
But no, it's the word of God that you take in the trial and tribulation that will grow you up. The trials and tribulation were designed to kill you.
That's right. And you're going to find out you can conquer it if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And that's.
But if you take the Holy Spirit and the word in there, you will. Mm-hmm. Grow through those times.
And I wish they had taught it that way.
But if you don't, you'll be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So that was the purpose for sending it.
Mm-hmm. If we can learn a lot from Satan by fighting him. You find out his weaknesses. You find out his tactics. You know, and I remember he would give you a thought, and he'll withdraw himself. And if you don't do, he'll watch to see if you do something with the thought. If you don't rebuke it, he'll come back and give you another one. He's slick, but he's also a coward. When you follow God, you can run him out of town, and it's not hard at all. If you can win the battle within, the battle without is a cakewalk. And I found that to be true. It used to amaze me some of the things that I had to deal with. But, and I wish that, in those days, I wish that I would have been able to teach it more. But when you teach something like that and nobody else is doing it, then they don't want you to teach it. So, you got to be, you know, God will give you wisdom for the times that you have to stand alone. That's just the only reason I mentioned that is because you're going to run into it. And but when you do, God will be with you. He'll give you wisdom for that. And it works.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Thurston. If nobody have nothing else, David.
David still there?
David, are you on the line?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I want to say something. Brother Thurston, I love that definition between the difference of trust and belief. Man, that was good. That was good. That just, you know.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Your definition? I tried to write it down, but I wasn't fast enough.
Trust is belief based on the past. And belief is trust without the past. You believe in God without a past relationship, without a past, with some. You believe in God at face value, without a past history.
It's just taking him at his word.
Yeah. And but trust is something that's going to always be needed. God can say some doozies that you'll have the peace, but you'll wonder about it. It'll be new to you, but if you trust him, it's going to work.
And define belief one more time. I'm trying to write it down, but you are a little bit too fast for
me. Belief is trust without the past. You believe in God.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. And trust is belief because of the past. And faith is always now.
I wanted to read you guys something, Mark 13:22, which has been a comfort for me.
Yeah.
It says, "For there will be imposters falsely claiming to be God's anointed one, and false prophets will arise to perform miracle signs. Mm-hmm. And if it were possible, they would cause God's chosen one to wander off the right track." So that's comforting to me. That is not even possible. Amen.
That's true. You know, when I listen to Pastor, did anybody listen to Pastor this week? He do a podcast every Wednesday. And that man is anointed for what he's doing. He talked about it. He talked about not an argument, but somebody was trying to, I guess they had a difference of opinion about the word now faith. And he said, faith is always current. It's always now. And the guy said, no, that word now wasn't in there. What Pastor Jim said, it wasn't in the translation, but it said faith is. He was anointed to prove a point. God, you know, when you're anointed to do God's business, it just outclasses the world itself. And when you watch that video, you'll see what I'm talking about. But
I heard it. Saying that was good.
Yeah.
I'll hear it with Logan Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have it on for me.
Okay.
They got a computer.
You know, I watched those podcasts.
Okay, brother. Brother David.
Yep.
Brother David. I'll take Brother David, please.
Okay. He might have. You didn't take it off, but no. Okay.
Brother David, he's there.
Yeah. I got last week's on the website. I had trouble getting them on. I got Mary on, and I got last week's on. So it's on. Our title Mary's are the burial, and the other one was proceeding forward. And just wanted to give that announcement.
Brother David, don't y'all forget tomorrow at 4:00.
Tomorrow at 4:00. I got my alarm set.
Okay. Hey, I like that, brother. Mm-hmm. I really do. I like it.
Yep.
And man, that's pressing in. That's when you really press in here, you know.
Yeah, this is
when
important.
You set alarms and you do it just like as if you were going to work. God doesn't have anything for us to clock in like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants us to do what we do out of love. You don't have to put a clock there to say clock in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to press in like that is good, Apostle. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, David is gone.
All right.
I'm going to call and see what happened to you.
Wait, want me to close it in prayer?
David is gone. Mary, do your job. Dismiss us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful, glorious day that you've made. For we are your servants and we will walk in the truth that you have given us today. We will be obedient to your word and we will trust you. We'll grow in that truth. It will undergird our faith and our belief. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are the body of Christ and we will do the work of the ministry. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done in our life. We thank you that our faith abounds to thanksgiving. We thank you for our family and our church friends and everything we have, Lord Jesus. The trees I see outside, the sky, the air I breathe, Lord Jesus. We are a thankful people dedicated to do the work of the ministry that you've called us to. You are adding daily to the church that is saved. Hallelujah. Because you did it 2,000 years ago and the reception is coming greatly. This is the end times and we will walk in that end time anointing. Bless everyone that's on this phone call, Lord Jesus. If you have blessed them already, may we receive the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Love y'all. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.